Hey, well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. Welcome to you if you're visiting today. And just off the back of Dave's leading us in prayer there, often we feel, well, how can we respond to it? And naturally, one of the ways that we can respond to this crisis is to pray. And in your Connect, there's just some little prayer points in there this month about the refugee crisis. Also, Tear Fund, can I point you in their direction? I mean, there are lots of organisations that are working with those that have been dispossessed and refugees and so on, but I think Tear Fund are good, and they've got a particular campaign going for those that find themselves in Europe and those in Calais and that kind of thing. You can go onto the website, tearfund.org, and donate there and give if you want to go in that direction. Thirdly, I think I've been told, I think it was in the Gazette. I never read the Gazette because it kind of doesn't have any news in it, does it? But it did apparently have an article in there saying that that over in Chipping Sodbury there is a centre somewhere in which he talks about it. But do you notice that Jesus comes to them and says peace? And I mean, you could say, well, that's hardly surprising, because obviously the text tells us that they were frightened of the Jewish leaders. And they'd been through an incredible experience, really, as a group of people. They'd had their hopes dashed and then incredibly raised again. They were fearful because persecution was coming against them. They didn't really know what God had in store for them, what this all meant. I can imagine they were, that word, discombobulated, whatever it meant. It sounds right, doesn't it? They were kind of in a quandary, my mother would perhaps say. So those words, peace, seem pretty relevant given what they'd been through. But I'm always slightly nervous, aren't you, if somebody comes up to you and says something like that. If their opening gambit is, peace be with you. You think, well, what's going on? I don't want you to worry about this. You think, oh no, what the first thing you do is worry, isn't it? If Jesus turns up and says, peace be with you, you start to go, oh no, why is he saying that? But obviously it ministered to what had happened in the past. But it also spoke profoundly about what was about to happen in the future for them. The shalom of God, the peace of God. And this greeting, if you like, in Jewish is more than just a hello or an hola or a konnichiwa or a, I can't think of any others, guten tag or a, yeah, that's about it. What's the Welsh one, Maya? How? Who? Shemaya, I thought it was Yachida. Eh? Or Borada. Is it not that? Okay, so it's more than just a greeting, although it is a greeting. Shalom is a really big word. It's quite difficult to kind of encapsulate it in a single sentence, but it means completeness, wholeness. It speaks about the kingdom of God. Shalom, if you like, is a word that would describe what things are like when Jesus is king. So it's a wonderful word in that sense. So not only was Jesus pronouncing to them peace, because it's all right, be at peace, I'm here. But he was speaking, in a sense, about the nature of that very kingdom that he was calling them to proclaim. Peace be upon you. And do you notice also that it speaks about the beginning of this new thing that God was doing? Can you see at the beginning of our reading? On the evening of the first day of the week. Certainly in John's mind, that's very significant. This was a new day. Jesus had died and he'd been raised again, and that signaled the beginning of God's new creation. All kinds of possibilities and potentialities were released when Jesus rose from the grave. We were singing about Jesus breaking chains. He broke the big chain, the chain of death and hell, and released this new creation into being that we will see in its fullness, in the fullness of time when Jesus comes and everything is made right. But that, in a sense, encapsulated what Jesus was calling his disciples to minister, peace. And in very simple terms, when we think about our own mission as individuals and as a church community, we only really have the peace of God, the shalom of God, to offer other people if we ourselves have experienced it. You see, those disciples needed to experience the wholeness and healing and help of God in order that they could take that, in order that they could bet their lives on going to the ends of the earth. And most of these guys, in fact, did lay down their lives for the sake of the message of Jesus Christ. Peace. But it's also about purpose, this passage. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father has... That's quite a staggering line, isn't it? That Jesus would say such a thing. And in one way, if you look at the end of our reading, it talks about the commission to pronounce forgiveness on people or withhold it. You know, the disciples could have legitimately turned around to Jesus and said, "Well, surely only God alone can forgive." And they'd be right to say so, wouldn't they? But the calling is to actualize, to make real, if you like, to minister that which Jesus has accomplished. In very simple terms, think of it this way. If you're into the problems have started, haven't they? And there's some wonderful classical music on the TV and radio at the moment, if that's your sort of thing. But you listen to those composers, and the brilliance and the artistry and the incredible talent of somebody like Rachmaninoff, who wrote that third piano concerto, which is just stunning. If you've never listened to it, go home and do it. You listen to that and you think, isn't that incredible? He created that incredible piece of music, but it is the job of the musicians to perform it, to make that music heard. A great clockmaker might make some beautiful clock and put his stamp on it, but it's up to the person who owns that clock to wind it up, to make sure that it's running, to look after it, and so on. And in that sense, and the correlation's not exact, but you get what I mean, that this job of being sent is not about the fact that we are doing what Jesus said, but we are making known what he did and what he does. "As the Father has sent me, I send you." And it's great. Derek and Sally's story this morning is fantastic and wonderful. Wonderful to hear what God is doing. But also wonderful, and as wonderful, is the challenge for each one of us. We have this little thing on our Connect, don't we? It says everyday missionaries. Is the challenge to, in a sense, embody that sense of being sent in the workplace, in the home, down at Aldi, wherever you may... Oh, it's almost impossible to embody that in Aldi, isn't it? Particularly on a... However, let's not go there. But that's the challenge, really, to be God's people, to have that sense of calling to be missionaries wherever we find ourselves. Now, you may think, oh no, listen to him going on about this thing. I feel really under pressure. Well, if you feel like that, I apologize, but think how these disciples must have felt. What are you saying, Jesus? We're in here trembling like this, and you're telling us that we're sent in the same way that the Father sent you. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son, and now I'm sending you. But look at it. Look what he does. He breathes on them and empowers them for this job of being sent. We can talk about the Holy Spirit in lots of different ways. And of course, the Holy Spirit does express to each one of us the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit does work in our lives to bring about the character of Jesus Christ. But fundamentally and foundationally, in a New Testament sense, the Holy Spirit was given to equip and empower the church to make known the glorious kingdom of God and the message about the King, Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. And I think we can often get lost in this. But this morning, if you're like most of us, and I include myself in that, who know that there is this kind of gospel imperative, that we know how important it is to be people that go and share the love of Jesus wherever we find ourselves, yet we find ourselves so impotent in that, and we find it difficult, and what do I say to people, and how do I, my Christian faith is really a very private thing, it's somewhere right deep down in here, and I don't really want to be able to, and all of those kind of things that we can get into. Let me say to you that as you welcome God the Holy Spirit into your life, you will find opportunities, You will find God opportunities to share your faith with people that you meet. See, no, it's no mistake that on the day of Pentecost, can you remember what happened? The Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples, and the outworking of that was the loosing of their tongues. They proclaimed the glory of God to all of these people gathered in Jerusalem, this diaspora, in languages that they understood. God, by his Spirit, was able to minister the gospel to people in ways that they would understand. It is his work. So really, to take the pressure right off you, what I'm saying to you this morning is we have been called to cooperate with God's great mission. God our Father made everything. He is the Redeemer. He's the one who passionately longs to put everything right. And so to do that, he sent Jesus Christ, who poured out his life unto death, and gloriously he was raised again. And he gave this commission to the church to announce that he is the King. And when he is the King, everything is made right. Shalom reigns. The job of the church is to be the sent ones. And this autumn, up until Christmas, we're having a focus on this in our small groups and in lots of different ways. Sunday morning teaching. We're going to do a set of guest services for our Advent services leading up to Christmas. All with this in mind, that I want us to be able to encourage one another. It's not about me telling you, it's about us encouraging one another to be active and thinking and praying about how do I share the love of Jesus with my neighbors, with my friends, with the people that I work with those on the other side of the world, wherever God may lead you. Because that's the heart and passion of God our Father. Amen? Amen. 12 minutes, that wasn't bad, was it? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your amazing love expressed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave himself. And I pray that that message of the gospel would burn in our hearts, that it would come alive for each one of us again, that for us, talking about Jesus Christ was a matter of habit because he's so alive in our hearts by the Spirit. May you do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.